A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I was sent. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
You have visited the land and watered it. Greatly have you enriched it. God's water courses are filled. You have prepared the grain.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
Thus have you prepared the land, drenching its furrows, breaking up its clods, softening it with showers, blessing its yield.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths overflow with a rich harvest. The untilled meadows overflow with it, and rejoicing clothes the hills.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
The fields are garmented with flocks, and the valleys blanketed with grain. They shout and sing for joy.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed to us. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to fertility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan in ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The seed is the word of God, Christ is the sower. All who come in him will have life forever. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parable, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it. But some fell on rich soil, produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The disciples approached him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given. He will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look and do not see, hear but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You shall indeed hear, but not understand. You shall indeed look, but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of God without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the world, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches chokes the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for a moment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. One of the more significant contributions of the Second Vatican Council was the reintroduction to the Catholic Church of the importance and centrality of the Holy Scriptures. In its documents on the on Revelation and on the Word of God. Once again, Catholics were encouraged, exalted, and encouraged to once again take and read, take and pray and meditate on the divine Word of God. And for the longest time, and I guess we can even date it back to the Reformation, developed in the popular mind and even among Catholics today, is the notion that sacred scripture, it belongs to the Protestants. That's what they have. We have the altar and the Mass, and never the twain shall meet. So if you're a Protestant folk, here you go, this is yours. And if you happen to be Catholic, well, you know, this is nice, and it has some nice things in it, you know, kind of uplift you, make you feel good about yourself and all that sort of stuff. But there's where the action is, right there. That is tragically false. And the Second Vatican Council clearly encouraged a deeper understanding of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Instead of seeing the pulpit and the altar separated by a gulf, not simply spatially, but also spiritually, we should think of the passage from the pulpit to the altar as a bridge. Not the infamous Sunshine Bridge of Louisiana that led nowhere, but this is a bridge that opens up, and we'll talk about that in a moment. It's a bridge that opens up into the superhighway of eternal life. And that eternal life runs right in the middle and marrow of where you live your everyday life. And you can't afford not to be a traveler on the road of the sacred scripture, the pulpit, and the road of the altar, the real present body and blood of Christ, in order to nourish us in our faith. You ever go in the store in the morning? And you see people, they're grabbing their cans of food or whatever they're going to eat, and they're looking at the labels and all of this kind of stuff after they get, you know, sticker shock from how prices have gone up. And they're looking at this and they're seeing all the nutritional things, making sure you don't have too much of this and not enough of that, and some, all of this kind of stuff. But are we malnourished in our spiritual life? Do we take the same care, the same diligence, that we check those labels in order to be fully nourished, to leave, and to go forth? It is essential that we partake and walk across this bridge between the pulpit and the altar, sacred scripture and the sacrifice of the Eucharist on the altar in the body and blood of Christ, so that we travel forth on that highway that leads outside. And since the Second Vatican Council, one of the great advances has been the plethora of resources available to you. Because what the Second Vatican Council did was it democratized the sacred scripture. It took the sacred scripture away from the elites, the scholars, and so on. And it said what St. Augustine had received from the Lord over 1,500 years ago. Take and read, take and read, take and read. Because to read the sacred scripture is not to read the New York Times. It's not to read your favorite novel or magazine. Because when you read the scriptures, it is the Word of God that reads each and every one of you. reads each and every one of us in our own situation in life at that particular time and nourishes us with the word. What is the central ministry of Jesus of Nazareth? To preach the kingdom of God is at hand. To preach the word of the kingdom. The central task of the priest is to preach the word of God. Preach the word of God, the living word of God. Saint Jerome, the patron saint of biblical scholars, said very simply, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Jesus Christ. We can't afford that ignorance, because that's an ignorance that is not bliss. It malnourishes us. And this bridge, nourished in the Word, nourished in the sacrament, lays out before us into our everyday lives, because believe it or not, this is going to come to an end. What we're going to do in a little while is we're going to put you out of church, aren't we? Oh, we're going to do it politely, don't worry. We'll say, oh, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. We're telling you to get out. And where are we putting you? We're putting you into the very marrow of your everyday lives. You are going back into your homes, into your schools, into your neighborhoods, into your places of work. And the world is out there ready to take you, ready to take you. And you have to be nourished. You have to be nourished. You have to be nourished by the word and nourished by the altar to live the Christian life. Because, you see, the church is not a hothouse. It's not a closed-in nursery. You are meant to take what you have received, what you have been blessed with, and you are called to sanctify that part of the world that you touch every day. Every day, that is your vocation. It's been your vocation since your baptism. Through the indwelling Holy Spirit, you are to be that person, that unique person in your situation, in your place, in your time, to sanctify, yes, to make holy that particular part of the world that you touch every day. Every single day, that's what you are to do. And it is in that every day that we are called to redeem and to bring Christ. We don't keep Christ locked inside of us. We hear the talk of the new evangelization and so on and so forth. It falls to us, to each and every one of us. For as we have been given, so we give. As we have received, so we enrich and share. That's crucial. That's crucial to the Christian life. And we bring that to that part of the world that we touch uniquely in our marriages, in our family life, in our places of business, in our schools. How does Jesus in his explanation of the parable this morning put it? He puts it beautifully to us. I mean, we fill in the blanks. But, you know, he says, some people receive the word with joy, all enthusiastic. And what happens? It has no roots. It's a kind of enthusiasm. Those who receive it and a tribulation comes along, and immediately they fold the tent. No, but it is the rich soil. We are the soil in which God's word has been planted. You have heard the word this morning. You have been enriched by that. This word does not exist in the catalogs, on the shopping channels. It doesn't exist in the magazines or the newspapers. in the congressional record or anywhere else. It is Almighty God's word addressed to each and every one of us and speaks to us. It is not a scripture that we simply read, something that we receive as gift. And finally, this morning, I think it's good for us to understand that when we receive the word of God, it is not simply something that we passively hear. There's a real distinction between hearing and listening. Hearing is a physical thing. It's physiological. And you can take the miracle ear and shove it in there and so on and so forth. You can do all that sort of stuff. But we don't need a miracle ear. We're called to have a listening heart. Listening is very different than hearing. How many times have you said to someone, "Well, didn't you hear what I said?" If you're parents, you probably say it 1,000 times a day. And the child says, "I heard you." They did hear you. They don't want to do it. Listening requires the investment of the heart. I heard you, but did you listen? The answer is no. You didn't listen. It is not simply enough to be hearers of the word. We must listen with our heart. O Lord, I've heard your word today. What are you telling me today as to how I will sanctify that part of the world that you have given me today and all that goes with it? How do I bring your presence, your Holy Spirit, to renew the face of the earth that I and I alone can bring and touch? Please don't rob the world of your sanctifying presence. Give it to the world. The world so badly needs it. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.